The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Hello, welcome. We're beyond excited about this episode and excited that you are listening. You're going to get a lot out of it. You'll thank us later. You lucky ducks.
Wow. I'm still on a little bit of a...
Oh, wow.
I'm still on a high and excited because David Tatera, let me tell you something. I was like, oh, let me read his bio. But if you're listening, and if you don't, just Google David Tatera. There's going to be a plethora, okay? Like, he has been around a very long time. He is an incredible wedding planner, event planner. He is an author. He's been on many television series of his own. He teaches people.
Yeah, one of the pioneers for sure when it comes to the TV stuff.
David is like... the other day I went to an open house and I was like, yeah, I'm a wedding planner. She's like, oh my God, I love David Tatera. This woman, I was like, oh yeah, I me too. You know, like people know David Tatera. And when I was able to make contact, I met him on Clubhouse. This is where I met David Tatera. This is part of the reason I love Clubhouse. But I've always known I wanted him on our show. So it's a big deal for us. Also, I was a little nervous because we weren't able to do an onboarding call. We had scheduled it. You know, it didn't work out. He was just the exact same person you see on television when you see him. And he was there. I didn't sense any ego about this man. He was so kind and so open and gave so much great advice. And we had a live audience for this one. So the five ladies that were on, Lindsay, Emily, Audrey, Margot, Megan, were able to ask their questions, which all five questions were so different. So, I mean, it's incredibly valuable, this episode. I'm still blown away. This is one for the books, Christy.
I, too, was very excited, but I was also a little apprehensive, just thinking, like, this podcast is all about staying grounded, like, it's down to earth, we want to talk to real people, we want to give you the real deal, and I guess we never know really what to expect with celebrities when they interact with us, so not that we've had a ton of celebrities on this podcast, but even in other aspects of my life, it is refreshing AF when somebody that we look up to and who's also a public figure and whose, you know, face and voice are everywhere, that he is and was so warm and approachable and easy and, yes, down to earth. I was blown away, I guess, in the first couple minutes with how, like, my shoulders relaxed and I was like, okay, here we go. We're going to talk to someone like they are our friend, mm-hmm. and he allowed that to happen. So it was very refreshing and delightful, and he's charming and obviously had, you know, great advice from years of experience. So it's awesome. I'm just so happy that we get to put it out.
We want to thank you again, Mr. David Tatera, for being on our podcast. And we hope you all enjoy this as much as we did.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Tutera, and I got to tell you something. I am so, so, so excited to be on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and share with you anything I can that will make your life smile a bit brighter and have a lot more fun planning a fabulous wedding.
That was amazing, David.
Okay, we're just going to
cut that and just use that as the opening from now on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you later. we're so excited. Michelle and I were texting like half an hour ago. You know, I think I just texted, are you excited? Getting excited. Cause I didn't know if Michelle was over there in California, like nervous or more just like, okay, yeah, cool. We're doing this.
Oh, cool, great. Man.
Yeah. Totally cool.
Totally cool.
Good.
Yeah. No, I've been watching the show, the most recent show of my great big live wedding.
Yes.
And I watched the very first one and I have to tell you, I was like, oh my God, they forgot to do the ring exchange in the ceremony with his brother being the officiant, which was so beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Like that they didn't know he was coming. And I was cracking up when they're like, oh, we forgot to do the rings. Okay, let's do that real quick. And I just thought to myself, oh my God, if I was David, like if I was the planner, I'd be in the back going like with my hands.
I probably was tapping my finger and running up and down the aisle and doing somersaults and, you know, jumping jacks, but no one puts a camera on the host when it's live and there's something wrong, you know, cause it certainly happens in real life, right?
Yeah. Oh yes. Especially since there's this trend of so many couples choosing a family member or a friend to officiate the ceremony, which is really can be both beautiful and moving. And also if it's not the right person could be kind of a nightmare.
Oh, it's painful. It could be the death of your wedding right there, right then and right now. When you have someone that doesn't know how to emote emotion, doesn't know how to, you know, really tell a beautiful, loving story and connect. Like, it's like trying to take a bunch of, threads and trying to detangle them and then tie them into a pretty knot. And they can't do that if they're not used to being in front of not just a couple, but an audience of 10, 20, 40 people, 100, who knows?
It's nerve-wracking. People think like, oh, I know you too. I'd love to be your officiant. It's an honor to be asked. And then they do okay at the rehearsal sometimes. And then at the ceremony, it's like sweaty palms, voices cracking, like they're overly emotional.
I remember the first time I actually officiated multiple ceremonies. And the first time I did it, I was doing so much television, put me in front of the camera, I'm fine. Put me in front of a bride and groom to officiate. I was like, oh my gosh. Like it's like you hold in your hand this massive responsibility. So I took it super seriously, enjoyed the process because for those of you listening that are, you know, always the audience members or the recipients as a couple getting married, that one person is the point of the triangle. That officiant connects the two of them to you. And you are in this little world that you don't realize you're in. You're in this like a very emotional, connected, personal space that you hold and you bring it to life. And then you walk away and you're done. And then when you're asked to do it again, you're like, oh my God, now I really want to do this.
Yeah,
because it's being part of someone's very important moment in their lives.
Yeah. And the ceremony, and I've talked about this a lot with officiants, especially on Clubhouse lately, the ceremony is the most important part. Like, this is the whole reason we're having this big ass wedding. Like, because these two people are getting married. And I think that a lot of couples tend to want to race through that ceremony, which, you know, I mean, it's important.
It's very important. And, you know, a question I've asked standing on many stages doing keynote speaking addresses to the industry and also to consumers, which are couples getting married, I always say, what's the one word that is the most important word when you're preparing and planning for your wedding? And you get all these different answers. The one answer that I find is either at the back end of the series of answers or never even brought up is the word love. And the word love is the catalyst to, of course, why we do what we do and why couples are standing there and getting married. They're in love. So the ceremony represents the reason why we're there. The ceremony is so important and it shouldn't be about the abundance of flowers, the mass amount of bridesmaids that are walking down the aisle. It's about that exchange of emotion and that storytelling of the couple and the vows, all of those formalities are where this needs to happen. And then when you march yourself into your celebration, whatever it is, wherever it will be, you know, that's where it turns into a different energy. So that shift of energy from ceremony to celebration has to be done incredibly magical, so you feel connected as a guest to that couple.
I feel like sometimes couples almost in the planning process, like, look at the ceremony, they is something we're going to rush through, and they forget about that part, but they also are almost apologetic. Like, we don't want everybody just to be like, oh, they love each other, love, love, love. Like, we just want to move on to the party. And it's like, no, like, we will move on to the party, but like, first focus on the love. You're not going to have all these people in a room, maybe ever again.
Ever again, correct.
To like, put that love towards you and support you as you make this decision. And when I started doing same-sex weddings, you know, many years ago, it had a different, they had a different vibe. And I, it was tangible. And oftentimes I could tell in my experience, it was because the couple had been together for so long already and didn't take for granted that they were going to be able to say these words in like a legal official way. So it for me as a planner, like re-energized my experience to be like, oh, this is why I love planning weddings so much. It reminded me, I guess, that it is about the love and the connection and the commitment. So go there, like embrace it, go big on that part, and it'll fuel the rest of the celebration.
No, it's true. And I also find, I beautifully said, by the way, and I also agree with, this is a moment, the ceremony, when you're thinking about putting together whatever it is you're going to say, your vows, someone speaking on behalf of you, two people speaking on either side of representing the couple. It's kind of the moment where your guests that are, let's call it the audience, your guests that are the audience watching you get married will find something new, or something new about you as a couple, as human beings, your relationship, yes, but then there's something that can come out of that ceremony that you'll leave and walk into the celebration going, I didn't know that about the two of them, or I didn't know that about each of them. And that's when a great officiant gets that content out, when you're in prep mode, preparing for ceremony. But yes, it's a place, Christy, that I think is a magical place, a very important place that we all have to hold close to our hearts, but it has to be led not just by the officiant, but the couple has to be willing enough to say, we're here, we're excited, we want you to know more about us, we want you to love us more, because we love each other so much is why we're here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not overly indulgent. It's literally the reason everybody's there.
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Yeah. I love ceremonies when even as a planner, we stand in the back, and when they say their vows to each other or something, you're like, I didn't know he had that in him, or like,
right.
I did not know she would say something that sweet, or it does help people to feel connected to them in that moment. Because a lot of times people only know one of the partners well, and not the other one at all, maybe. So the ceremony is like almost introducing
a stranger to your world. It's like, you're getting it's like speed dating the person that you're going to watch get married, getting a chance to know them.
One thing I always notice with you, David, is the connection you have with the couple. Like, you're very physically close, and you're also very close in terms of like your connection. Like, you can feel it. I feel it through the screen. I see it. I watch it. And I feel when I'm planning weddings, I have a connection. I'm working, you know, we're working with these couples for a year out, sometimes less, sometimes more. We have things in common. I know all the craziness of their family. But on the wedding day itself, I always kind of try and remind myself, like, connect. But there's like a million other things that we're doing as planners. And so I always find it so impressive watching you connect with these people on the wedding day. What is your secret there? Or is it just naturally your
No, I appreciate that question deeply. I think what it is that I take my job incredibly seriously. And I think we all as planners do, and we get so caught up as planners in the minutiae of logistics and timelines and budgets and all the, you know, all the details, right? And unfortunately, before I answer the question on behalf of myself, too many planners get dismissed and disconnected from their couples. And it has to start, that point of relationship with your client has to start from the moment you're potentially being hired. So you have to invest your heart and your mind into what the couple's looking for. And then as you know, you transition that into signing a contract, then you transition that into obviously being their planner. I feel like, and I use this analogy in the officiant scenario, I feel like I've been given an opportunity to create something for two strangers that I want to get to know better and give them something that they will remember on a different level than just pretty flowers and great music and a great, you know, great dress. And I feel like a really great planner, a really connected human being as a planner, emotes all that and really allows their clients, which I consider to call them part of my family at that moment, that I'm there for them to allow them to ask any question as ridiculous or foolish or uncomfortable it is that they can. And you know, it's really interesting. Over the course of my 30 years plus of doing weddings, I've made some really strong relationships. My daughter Cielo's godmother, I did her wedding. She became a best friend of mine. You know, we've got people in our lives that are actually people that we have been hired to do weddings for. And, you know, it's not going to happen every day, but over a course of time, there's special people that we made these bonds with. And it may not even be someone I see again after spending a year planning their wedding, but I'll send them a note, a text. They'll actually reach out and say, hey, how are you guys doing? We've been thinking about you. It's really a very special opportunity when a planner and a couple are truly connected.
We've gotten a lot of questions in the 4 years of doing the podcast about people asking about finding a planner to work with, like what questions should we ask? And those types of questions are fairly easy to answer. But the more ambiguous part of that puzzle is you gotta like your planner. Like there needs to be a good rapport because you have to trust them with so much. But sometimes it's hard to tell a year out how the relationship is going to go for us and for the couple.
Agreed.
Because, you know, a couple months before the wedding, things start maybe to get a little stressful or cuckoo. And like, you're like, where'd that person come from? That's not who I interviewed with 9 months ago. But yeah, there is a friendship that should be, I don't know. You don't have to necessarily love your florist, but I think you should love your
I think you have to love your planner. I think you cannot be in a position going, yeah, I heard really great stories. I do great weddings and I really like them. I'm going to hire them. No. You know, I think you need to like a flavor of ice cream, but I think you need to love your planner. And I deeply mean that. Listen, you may wind up in valleys and hills and mountains throughout the process. And you might go, oh my God, my planner is driving me crazy. Well, my planner is driving you crazy for a reason, because there's certain deadlines that we need to hit. So when they think and feel that way as planners, we have to remind them, consumers, of why we may be pushing a moment, because we want to get you the right vendor, or we want to get you the right contract or the right intel on what's coming next. So that, I always say to my clients, are you okay? How's everything going, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to say to me, well, you know, I really want to talk to you as a client to planner, I want to talk to you that really not happy where we are right now. Well, let's have that open dialogue. It's just like being in a relationship, right? Got into a fight, you have a conversation, and then you feel better and you make up. I'm not saying get in a fight with your planner. What I'm saying is communicate with your planner. Mm-hmm. Communicating with your planner will avoid the fight, which will then crumble the relationship. And it's sometimes hard to repair when planners and clients start to have this friction. And as great planners and as honest consumers and great planners work together, sparks go off. But remember, when you are a consumer, consumers, brides and grooms getting married have to fully tell the truth to us, fully tell us, what's the real budget? What are the dynamics in the family? What is a concern of yours that you're having? Why do you not want to do this? Who told you not to do this? Because now you're feeling uncomfortable doing it.
That's a
Those
big
dialogues one. Have to happen. And yeah. Otherwise, we're not best representing you as a planner to you as a consumer.
Yeah, we can't come up with solutions that are going to be perfect solutions if we don't have all the necessary information. Like if you leave something out, like the fact that you hate your stepmom or something, that's just like, what?
I want to know the dynamics. I want to be that inner person that knows more about your family than your family knows about your family. I'm not looking to share it. I'm looking to forget it all, but I want to be able to help you.
Do you fast track those conversations then at the beginning of work? Okay.
Yeah, we do. I do a lot. Most of my planning in the first 2 to 3 months is getting to know you moments. It's, you know, obviously, yeah, I know the color that you want and the style of the wedding you want. Fine, that's all wonderful. And often it shifts sometimes down the road.
Yes.
But I want to know the dynamics of, you know, you and you couple, and then dynamics of the exterior of that bubble, which can cause a lot of friction.
How many times have you worked with a couple, David, where you know or you can sense there's an underlying unspoken thing happening somewhere with maybe one of the partner's parents, that the decision that your clients are making is because they're being influenced somehow by another family member who's putting pressure on them? Like, do you find that, and how do you kind of weed that out or bring them around to making this decision that's best for them?
I can tell you there's one thing in my life that I know is I can smell this and sift it out from the very beginning. I may not know the point person who may be causing the scenario. I'll get to it, but I'm very honest with my couples. I will say, okay, so it seems like there's a budget issue right now and we're at the budget we're supposed to be. So I need to know, are you paying for it, or is your mom and dad paying for it, or is it being split between two families and two families are disagreeing on what the final budget is? That's often the number one problem in the scenario, but I can't do my job if I don't know where the money's coming from. And I'm not legitimately saying to me, I want to know who's making the decisions on that. And I can help, by the way, as a planner. We all as planners could say, let us help alleviate that stress. Let us have the conversation with the person who's holding the checkbook. Let us talk about what's the real budget. Because sometimes it shifts. And then, you know, there's dynamics with family members. I mean, I've seen it all. We've all seen it all as planners. You know, oldest sister's not getting married. Younger sister is. Friction starts. Because the older sister wants to get married before the younger sister. And she's miserable being in the bridal party. So, you know, that stuff comes up. That's not sort of make-believe movie stuff. It's real dynamics that cause real friction, which makes, I'm not going to say our jobs harder. It's going to make for our couples the experience to be less enjoyable. And that's when we take on all of these roles that most couples don't realize we're more than just planners.
Yeah. It's hard to witness and see and try to break through oftentimes. One of my questions on here for you is, how have you seen things change over the years? For example, what has always remained, in your opinion, with weddings, timeless? And then what are some things that are totally gone or evolved into something different, in your opinion?
Well, I'm going to be harsh on this answer that I wasn't prepared for. It's hard because I've got these are brides, right? You guys are brides soon to get married someday.
The ones watching, yes.
Yeah. I would like to stand here and say, after all of these decades of doing weddings, that this industry has evolved more than it has, but it hasn't. But it hasn't. So, you know, that is a bigger challenge for me, is that the evolution of our industry, I think this is exactly where it was where I started. It's just that I've become better at what I do because I've got more time under my belt. I'd like to see an elevation starting from the industry, starting from our professionals, which then will trickle down to the consumer. The consumer still comes to us, which of course are you guys who are on watching right now, visually. The consumer is still stuck in ideas and thought processes that haven't evolved. And our job as professionals in the industry have to evolve that. And we can't do it alone, we have to do it collectively. So then the consumer is matching where we are and we're matching where they are. And that's been very challenging for me.
I agree. I think, you know, Christy and I with this podcast, when we started it, my idea was like, can we just talk about things like real? Like, let's not talk about things the way you hear it all the time on those big platforms, you know, in the magazines, on somebody's Instagram feed. Like, there's things that go on behind the scenes that, as you put it, the consumer, the couples are not aware of. There are wedding professionals who just are waiting to make money, you know, because we pay our bills doing this for a living, but they're like, yeah, let me just feed into what everybody, those stereotypes, let me just feed into, you're going to have to throw the bouquet. You know, you're going to have to, there's a bridal party. There's a bride side and the groom side. I think a lot, like what you're saying, is a lot of industry people feed into these, what society has always told us a wedding is, or maybe what grandma says a wedding is. And that's not how things should be going.
No. And our industry feeds into this elevated position of who we are in a business. We are not God. We are not on a high pedestal up here that you can't see so far down to understand what our clients need. We have to be parallel. We have to be willing and honest and open to ask those uncomfortable questions. To make sure we understand more. And I'm going to give you an example that just popped up into my head,
yeah,
which is a long time ago. And it's a great quick story I'll tell you, if it's okay.
Of course. No, David, I don't want you to talk.
I was hired by this wonderful couple. This was in New York City, and they were having a very, very big wedding at a very luxurious venue. And I just immediately fell in love with the bride. It just, I had a connection to her. She was just sweet and kind and loving and excited about getting married to her fiance. And he was a wonderful guy, a little buttoned up and rigid. And there was definitely a dynamic there that seemed to be off. And we went through the process of planning the wedding, and it came to maybe about 2 months prior, and the wedding got postponed. So the bride, which I'll say her name is Barbara, the groom's name, because then you can start putting pieces together. But Barbara says to me, I'm so sorry, but we're going to be postponing our wedding, which I was disappointed because I wanted to make it happen, of course, and we're running a business. Mm-hmm. So fast forward a year later, I get the phone call, wedding's back on, we're going to restart and do it all over and make sure, you know, we get this completed, same venue, nothing's changed. But now I'm on the version of planning, technically now we're planning two weddings, right? I kept the deposit because that's the way our contract reads. We've now moved on to planning wedding number two. Fast forward, move forward, get a phone call months later. It's postponed again. She calls me up and she says, David, I'm sorry. It's not happening right now. I can't really talk about it. I still couldn't figure out what was going on. Couldn't figure out what was happening. She moved to Paris and she was going to culinary school. She called me from Paris and she says, David, the wedding is back on. Now we're on to number four, by the way, just for the record. I'm not getting paid a different deposit each time. I don't work that way. And it's never happened ever since then. So she calls me from Paris and she says, David, listen, I'll be there for the wedding. I have my dress, but you're now going to have to plan this entire wedding with my fiance. So now I'm going to get to do it with the groom. What I came to find out, because I felt comfortable enough to ask the groom and not upset the bride, was what's going on here?
Yeah.
Right? What was going on is that the groom was Jewish and the bride was Roman Catholic. Mm. And the money was on the groom's side. And the groom's family would not let her get married to him until she converted to Judaism.
Oh, so, this is just like Charlotte and Sex and the City.
So, yeah. So here we are. Now, I would have loved to have known that from the beginning, by the way.
Right.
And I'm not going to say, what's your religion? Why are you having a problem? But I finally had to figure it out what the problem was. So the closing period to this entire sentence is, day of the wedding, everything's great, it's all set up, it's ready to go. Groom turns to me, he's slightly toasted, with too many tequilas. And he says, David, I need to go for a long walk. I'll be right back. I said, listen, I've done your wedding. This is a true story. I have planned your wedding 4 times. Where are you going? Because I'm going for a walk. I said, there's people in the ceremony room. You're getting married in moments. I said, let's go for a walk. I'm going with you. Mm-hmm. Because now it's about me, your planner. You're walking down that aisle if I have to push you down that aisle. And the point of the story is they got married. I'm not saying I take full responsibility for it, maybe a teeny bit, but they have 3 wonderful children. They still stay in touch with me. But the point is I got to figure out what the reason for the delay was for 3 consecutive times day after number 4.
Did you go on a walk with him? Did you?
Of course I did.
Did you have to talk him back into it?
I talked with him about nothing about weddings at all. We talked. I don't know if he remembers the talk. We got in the room, got him up, sent him down the aisle. Done. Job was complete. It was a success.
Whoa.
Like, I'll take you on a walk.
Yeah, right? I'll take you on a walk.
Down the aisle.
I'm going to walk you down the aisle.
You're getting down the aisle or pushed in front of a cab.
Did they have a Jewish ceremony?
They had a full-fledged, she converted.
Oh, she converted.
Full-fledged Jewish ceremony. But just share that information from the beginning. Like, it would have saved all of us a lot of time.
Do you think there's 1 or 2 elements off the top of your head, or maybe even your favorite elements of a ceremony or reception, but thinking along like the traditional, these are the things we've been kind of told we need to do at weddings. Are there a couple of those that you actually agree with? Like, I do love those at weddings. I do think I hope that stays around or sticks around or, you know, gets through all the modern changes.
I mean, I've found over the course of maybe the past less than 10 years that wedding couples don't want to exchange vows, that they're nervous to exchange vows. Mm. And I think it is the most important thing that you want to hear as the recipient getting married to the person you love. And also as a guest there, you want to hear that exchange. I can't think of a more magical, special moment than a vow exchange. When it goes declined, when I ask my brides and grooms and couples, it really saddens me because you can never redo that again. Mm-hmm. And if you do, no one's had the chance to experience that true raw emotion and love that they have for one another. I also love when ceremonies have a very unique twist on music. I think I'm a very dramatic person. So, you know, I need to have like, you know, a choir and
the gospel singers to come out.
Singers. For our wedding, we had 26 piece gospel wedding. I mean, gospel. My
favorite thing.
Choir with us. So it was like, and the song was Rise Up from Audra Day. So it doesn't get more dramatic than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about your wedding. And your husband's name is Joey, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Just so you know, Christy's firstborn son's name is Joey.
Yes. Very I named good. Him after your husband.
Or my father, because my father's Joseph.
Yes, we like the classic. Yeah, but he's a Joey. There
he's a go. Joey. How did it feel to plan? Well, did you plan your own wedding, David?
I did. I'll never do that again. Okay. I did. I planned my own wedding. I turned into my own worst client.
Oh my God.
And I said, I'd never do that because I'm not like that. I got hysterical. I had this responsibility of wanting to make sure that our wedding, and then of course it became my wedding.
Of course.
You know, I became that expected person and it became publicized. It was going to be PR, people picked it up. I mean, it became like I couldn't breathe because I felt like it wasn't just about the X amount of guests that were coming. It wasn't about myself and my husband. It now became about, oh my God, David Duterte, what is he going to be doing for his wedding? And I thought, this is the reason why we were going to do a small wedding, which was going to be 50, 60 guests. It turned into a 300 person wedding. And it was like, big, tons of entertainment and orchestra. And I look back now, 4 years later, and I look at it and I go, there's like about 60% of those people I don't even like anymore. Like, what was I doing? I did everything I would tell my client not to do. I did.
Why did you do that?
Because I felt at the moment we were in the middle of production for my television show series, and it just, there was producers and network people and, you know, people in the world of retail, and it were all these people that were part of our business circle. So it felt that if I had done one and I hadn't done all, it was jeopardizing the brand and the business. So it became
bigger
choices and not emotional decisions.
Yeah.
So your ideal, what it, when you do it over again with Joey, not the next person, not another person, would you do a smaller wedding? Would you not accept all of the things that were maybe, I would assume that a lot of these retailers and producers are like, we can do this, we can do that. Let's do this, we could do that. Let's promote the show. Let's promote your brand. Let's, you know, what would have been your ideal?
My ideal would be what we just did. November 2019, I threw Joey his 40th birthday party at our home outside. And I promised him a really, really amazing, unique celebration, but not with a lot of people. So it's kind of answering your question.
Good.
We brought in a very well-known performer. We had an amazing dance troupe. We had a phenomenal DJ with beautiful food, a beautiful environment. I think maybe we had 60, 70 people, if that, maybe less. And it felt, for me, I felt like I was actually a guest at our party. And it felt very special for Joey, and it felt very special to our two daughters.
I was gonna ask if the girls were there. They were there. Well, Gracie must have been tiny.
We were expecting Gracie. Gracie was born 2 months later.
Oh.
Yeah, that was there.
I was wondering on that note from the way that certainly not everybody's weddings can get as big as yours did or have the machine behind it, but weddings do have a way of altering people, you know, the normal, how we're going to spend our money becomes like, and now we're just hemorrhaging money. And it's gotten out of hand. I don't feel like I'm in control of it anymore. I didn't even want this, this, or this. But with COVID, you know, in this past year, a lot of people have, I don't want to say downsized, but they've rethought and redesigned what their wedding day is going to look like. What would you say is a way to like focus in for couples of what the priorities are, what is really important to you two, and then how to include that no matter how many times you've had to replan or change the guest list or the venue or all of the elements to focus on you two instead of the greater machine behind it?
Well, I've always said out in the industry and to consumers too, is that you should only first of all be looking at what you can afford to do. And when you're getting married, it is not a place to, we can use the word hemorrhage money. We can also remind ourselves that you don't need to be going into debt for planning a wedding. Listen, we're in the world of making money on weddings, but if you're pushing the envelope legitimately too far, it's not how you want to start your relationship with owing, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars for a party that was 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And I always bring that up very closely to my clients if they're struggling with, well, let's not do this, let's do that because we can't afford that. Well, here's the things you should do. The things you should do are, you have to have great music because it's an emotion. I'm not saying a 30-piece orchestra. You can have a great DJ who understands the right way to create the energy, emotion, and vibe. Super important. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the DJ is last analyst that's actually selected. You know, you don't have to have a $7,500 cake. You can get a $500 cake. And by the way, no one's going to know the difference. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to lessen the industry to the cake industry, but it's the truth. The top priorities to any wedding, whether you have 10 people or 100, are food, music. Again, food, music, and the visuals, which would be flowers or whatever that ultimate design element would be. That's where you focus. All that other stuff, if you can do it, awesome. If you can't, you can have an amazing wedding with the things I just said. Mm-hmm. And again, it's about not spending money you don't have. That's what's important.
We did have a guest recently who the episode title was like, I planned $100,000 wedding and I don't regret it. Which we know there's bigger budgets than that, but it was the first time we had on our podcast really kind of gone there with like, yeah, this was a big ass wedding and they were happy with it. But she was very specific to say like, we are in my wife is in her 50s. Like we've never been, she's never been married. She has a career. We have that money to spend. Mm-hmm. We would not have done it if we didn't have that money to spend because you're working within your own reality. Not everybody has that much money, but you can have a perfectly, you know, awesome wedding for yourself for far less than that. But I think couples forget that a wedding is only as much fun as the two people getting married are and yes. are having and are letting themselves have.
You know, what's also really interesting with what you just said is that you can have a client or any one of the girls listening and anyone that's going to be and watching, you can have that $100,000 budget and you could still have a horrible wedding. You can have a wedding at $20,000 and I've seen it and been to it and you can walk away in more love with your partner that you've gone with to that wedding and more in love with the idea of a wedding in love with a fraction of the cost, a fifth of the cost of $100,000. Mm-hmm. It is about the people that are there. And it all trickles down from the energy of the couple. Mm-hmm. They may be in love, 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 but their inability to communicate with their guests and create the energy of what you're wishing to have is not depicted with what dollar figure you spend on your wedding. I've seen $1 million weddings I've been to as a guest, and they have bored me to tears. Mm. And I don't remember leaving and going, wow, where'd that $1 million go? Like who cares? Mm-hmm. Right. It made the client happy, I guess, but it didn't change the energy or vibe or the thought process of the recipient, which is the guest.
What a waste.
Yeah. Sometimes with weddings, small or big budget or small, you see sometimes the couple kind of getting shuffled, like, okay, move here, stand here, go over here. It's time to do this. We're going to do that. Like, yeah. To where it, when you see, if you're a guest and you see the two people, maybe it's your cousin, you know, getting married, you're like, she doesn't look like she's having fun. Like all this preparation, all this money, which is a lot, no matter who you are, your wedding is a lot for you.
Like a deer in headlights.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like not relaxed and not till the very end when she, you know, she's a little bit tipsy and like maybe some of the vendors have gone home where she's actually dancing and looks like she's happy. That's such a bummer.
Yeah, I agree.
Want to set it up so that you can actually enjoy it.
This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by the Batch app.
Woohoo! We talk all about planning the wedding day here on the podcast, but before your wedding day is another big party, your bachelor or bachelorette party, your batch party.
And we have great news for you. The Batch app is on a mission to make planning bachelorette and bachelor parties easy and fun.
In the free Batch app, that's BACH, you can do everything you need to plan the perfect party.
You can invite your party guests, launch polls with your group, plan your itinerary, and most importantly, Batch has all the best local experiences perfect for these parties, bookable right in the app.
Everything from party buses and pedal taverns to goat yoga and Ooh. Instagram mural tours and photo shoots. Batch has you covered.
Download the Batch app. It is free on the App Store. That's BACH, and save your headache for the hangover.
And when you book your first experience with Batch, use promo code BIGWEDDING for 10% off.
Thank you, Batch app. David, you've done celebrity weddings. You've had celebrity clients, right?
I've had enough that I can start to forget. Yes, I have. A lot.
And then you've worked with clients that nobody really knows.
You know, I like the clients that nobody really knows. I mean, it's fun to have a celebrity wedding. I think, let me rephrase that. It's nice to say you have a celebrity client. It doesn't mean that that process is going to be something that pays off to build your business, other than putting a bunch of names in your bio or resume, right? Or in your PR platform. But no one's hiring me because I did this celebrity's wedding. They're hiring me because I do great weddings.
Yeah. You know,
and I do great weddings. I treat, and I, this is no joke with my comment, is that I treat every client like a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what we always need to remind ourselves. Celebrities are a handful and it can be very challenging. And there are many planners that focus solely on celebrities. I praise them for that's their decision to do. It's not something that I've made a priority for myself.
With all the years, how many years, by the way, have you been?
All right, we'll do the math right now. Jeez, I hate this part. Let's see. I started in 1986, so you do the math for me.
Well, I was born in 82.
Are you not helping here?
I didn't want to assume, but so it's like at some point you stopped aging. So for me, I'm like, well, he's, if I say how many decades, I can't, I have no.
It's over three decades. So 86 to whatever, I don't know.
You still 30. Speak so passionately about not just weddings, but the process of working with couples.
It.
Have you
I
ever felt like, did it ebb and flow? Have you ever felt kind of burnt out, or have you ever been like, I'm quitting? No.
I've never felt that way. I have felt, I have in a handful of times, had clients that I just wish would go away and stop behaving the way they're behaving and had a really hard time with them. And, mm-hmm. You know, if I said there's 10 of those clients out of God knows how many I've done, that percentage is small,
sure.
But you know, those 10 clients, you know, really, really beat me up in the process of getting to the finish line. And when I first started my career, you know, when I say first started, when 1986, I first started, I was doing teeny stuff. But when I started to transition into, I call them the Billionaire Club, and it was legitimately the Billionaire Club of New York City. I somehow got into the society scene, and we're talking, you know, the wealthiest people in the world living in New York City were calling on me. And that was not an enjoyable process either. They have money, they spent it, but the pain and the anxiety and the stress and the not being treated very kindly by those particular clients made it really challenging for me. So when it shifted, my business shifted out of the Billionaire Club, and then TV came to me and I became the TV personality, that opened the door to a very different dynamic of clients. Mm. And it opened it up to a breath of fresh air for me. Clients that didn't have a lot of money, clients that had a lot of money, but didn't consider themselves, you know, uber wealthy when they are. It's a different, mm-hmm. It was a different mindset.
So none of those like client, I mean, cause I've been beat up by clients, and at that point in my career, and I can think of one specific couple, I definitely questioned like, do I want to stop doing this for like, do I have the toughness, I guess, to keep going? Because it was almost derailing how much I took after it was done and like the contract had been sent back, we're done, we're not working together anymore, like the really bad stuff. I kept it with me instead of,
scarred. It's like bullet wounds. You feel like you don't want to go through that again. And you can't, it still could happen again. You never know. And the good thing about what happened for you is that you chose not to stop. You continued on your journey. And it's because we love what we do and we love what we do for people.
Yeah, there was a couple right after them that was a couple that had been together, like I said, for 40 years and were finally planning their wedding, that reignited like a love for this job. And they've kind of saved me. I think like they've like pulled me back into what I, you know, fell in love with about this industry to begin with. But what are, for you, having done so many more weddings than I have, but also a wider spectrum, like what are the moments on the wedding day? I'm so curious about how, when you sit back and it is just like, oh yeah, that's it. That's the reason.
There's so many different moments. Sometimes it's just, even for me personally, when I'm finally dressed up and not in tattered clothes from setting up and looking at the space that's come together, and I go, oh my God, this is exactly what I envisioned for this couple, you know? And that's my own little personal moment. But then it's also when I'm watching the excitement between the family and the excitement and the joy, the true joy, not the drama that goes on sometimes. You know, when you see that true joy and people really supporting one another and just excited about that walk down the aisle. And, you know, when the bride, I'm just about to send down the aisle for her walk to get married to her significant other, you know, when she looks at you and either gives you like a tear or a thumbs up. And I know that's so stupid, but like, when a bride goes like that to you, yeah, and she's ready to walk down with her dad, it's like, you know, that's what we live for. I mean, that's it's just those moments are very special. And I remembered you brought this up when you were talking about that couple together for so long. I did a wedding for a couple that were having a 50th wedding anniversary and never had a wedding. They had come from Cuba into Miami and came to Miami from Cuba with no money. And whatever they did for a living, they got to a point where they were able to now finally have a wedding. They're having their 50th wedding anniversary. Hmm. They spoke not the best English, so I had a translator most of the time working with them. But the one thing I remembered was the husband, this stern guy, the wife was so excited. I mean, she's a grandma. To be getting married, walking down an aisle in a church in New York City, and they had it in New York, and he turned to me and said, "Can you do me a favor?" In this really broken English accent, he goes, "We've been waiting so long. Can you hire Tony Bennett for my wife as a surprise?"
No.
And I was like, I had hired Tony Bennett several times, and he's not easy, but the point was, is that when he said it like he was waiting 50 years to ask that question to make happen. And we made it happen. So those are those times where a thumbs up or a Tony Bennett moment, they're equal, by the way.
Right.
They're just different, but it was really beautiful.
That is beautiful. Oh, I know, David, that moment before you send someone down the aisle, there aren't many people in this world that are able to experience that, be on in that inside moment. That's like my favorite part of a wedding by far. Cause that is where I'm like, I really am honored.
Yeah.
Like this Hand is something Kleenex. For them. It's the first time and only time they'll probably ever experience this. And it's a totally different experience, but we as wedding planners get to share in those moments, and they'll probably don't even remember seeing me at that moment, but I'm like, oh yes, I love it. I love this. Okay. So we have these lovely ladies who have been watching and listening, and they're all getting married as far as I know. Is that right? Everybody's getting married. And so they all have a question each, maybe a couple, but right before we get that to that, David, I want you to tell us what you're up to right now, because the David to Terry experience is something that I'm like, oh, I want to experience, David. Can you tell us quickly, because you're leaving to go on a trip here in a few days. What's going on with you? What are you doing?
Oh, I have a little anxiety. I've been home for like, I don't know, 20 years, it seems like. So I'm leaving on Friday. We're going to Orlando, Florida. The David to Terry experience is about a community where we bring experts on stage to teach others that are in our industry how to be more motivated, how to be more professional, how to make more money, how to really love what we love even more. And I'm excited. I'm a little nervous. Like I said, I haven't traveled during COVID, and I'm vaccinated, which makes me feel even more
good.
Yeah. Joey and I both are, and we're going to be going there with a very different set of eyes this time. The David Chair Experience in Orlando was canceled 3 times over the course of 2020. And we figured we need to really figure out how to make this happen. So we are COVID safe. We are doing protocol proper. We are doing COVID rapid tests in the morning to make sure everyone feels comfortable and safe. We're doing all the things that our industry needs to do for our industry. So we're trying to teach our industry at the experience how they can step forward with still having events. It's gonna shift. It's still not gonna shift fast enough, But as it shifts, there are answers and there are ways to prepare. So this is our fifth David Duterte experience in Orlando, Florida at the Four Seasons. But every 6 months now during COVID, we have now scheduled every 6 months we'll have the experience. We're going to be in Newport, Rhode Island in September of 2021, which we're super thrilled about. We're announcing in Orlando where we will be in the spring of 2022, which we already have selected. And then we are going international the fall of 2022, which we'll be announcing in a year from now. We're building this experience to become not a conference, but almost a place that is unique and special for people to feel safe. And I don't mean legitimately safe, but safe in their business. Mm-hmm. And the ability to grow and have a community that they get to spend time with.
Is it majority wedding planners or is it wedding professionals, period?
It is actually event planners, wedding planners, designers, owners of tech companies, photographers, videographers. It's the industry as a whole. It is not
the live events industry.
Yeah, it's not wedding focused.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I'm going to bring, I know that there's one question in particular here, Emily, and she's actually asked this question of us, I believe, on maybe our Instagram lives, Emily, or in our Facebook community. I can't remember, but I'm going to unmute you, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Introduce yourself and tell us when the wedding is.
Okay. So I am from Wisconsin. My fiance and I are getting married on December 3rd. It's palindrome 12/3/21. So if anyone's still looking for a date, it's a good one. And so David, when I might talk too much. Sorry, Christy.
No. Christy, you won't, Emily.
When I saw the initial Instagram post that this was happening, it took me back to like 2008, watching the fairy tale weddings with my mom.
Yes.
And so my dress is actually like Sleeping Beauty's. So like you're like the one I picked out when I was 8 years old.
Nice.
So I'm just wondering what you would suggest to incorporate Disney into our wedding without making it too obvious.
I don't know if you know, I used to have a wedding collection of exact events at Disney properties.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
That's what you're talking about? Okay, yeah. So this was one of the things when Disney came to me to have David Duterte fairy tale weddings, I said, I'm all on board, but it's not going to look like a Disney wedding. But the words that I used consistently with the consumers and with corporate was, you have to have that magic. It's the magic. It's the things that you do. It's even the things down to, you know, sparkly fairy dust tablecloths. You know, that doesn't vomit Disney. It mm-hmm. creates this feeling, this illusion, this magic, this wonderful environment. I think the colors are significantly important. I don't know which direction, if you're going in a soft, like, you know, robin's egg blue with a little bit of silver and fairy tale, or are you going in a deeper, darker princess color? Which colors are you choosing?
Yeah, so our bridal party is going to be all black with hints of burgundy and then greenery like pine and cedar with the mixed metals in it.
Oh, great. So you're going in a more modern direction.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of like a Christmas modern. I mean,
that's great. And then your bouquet colors are going to be softer in color tone or still deeper in the those colors?
I'm thinking white flowers with some red in it.
Oh, be careful on the red.
Okay.
Because you said the color of the dresses are what again? Burgundy?
Black, right?
Black.
Yeah.
Just be careful with the red with black because it could start to look a little Halloween-y.
Oh,
so just be a little, try to maybe be a little bit more gentle on the color tones of the flowers for the bouquets with black.
Okay.
You don't want to look too, because it could also start to look a little gothy.
That's what I was thinking. What else would you do besides white, David, with black?
No, you could do, there are some pretty cool flowers. I mean, they're not necessarily flowers, but they're more like, you know, lamb's ear, succulents, things like that could be really incredible against black and in that vibe. And then you can add, there is don't know the name of the exact color tone, but there's now a rose that is in the color tone of like a gray. It looks like it's a beautiful gray that could be really pretty against black. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to add just a little bit of sparkle into the mm-hmm. bouquets, it can really let it all pop out.
So you're saying, I love that, by the way. And I love a black dress on a bridesmaid. And you were saying, what with the linens, fairy dust inspired, what were you saying?
Well, there's a fairy dust tablecloth overlay, but now knowing that you're blacks in those tones, I wouldn't go that way. I would go more in, how many tables?
I don't know yet.
How many guests?
About 200 people though.
So 20 tables-ish.
Okay.
I would definitely not do a dark color for 20 tables. I try to keep it into a medium tone. I mean, I'm still seeing this gray color kind of mm-hmm. feeling like it could be really interesting because with a modern approach, you can mix the gray with maybe some gunmetal, which is like a brushed
yeah. gold.
Could be really nice too.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Excellent. Okay. Let's go to Lindsay. Miss Lindsay, the first person to ever purchase our masterclass.
Hi. Thank you, Michelle, Christy, and David. I'm a huge fan. Hi, David.
Hi.
I'm Lindsay. I'm not technically engaged yet, but we picked out the ring this weekend. So, and my partner and I are architects and we're passionate about our local art and music scene. So my question for David is, do you have any tips, stories, or advice for incorporating local artists and entertainers into your wedding?
Oh, great question. Yeah. Really great question. Where are you?
I'm in Kansas City.
God, Oakland, it's Oakland Park, oh, right? What's the,
Overland Park?
What'd you say? Overland Park. That's where my daughter was born. There's an interesting community there. Actually really interesting community in that very specific area. It's attached to the university, as you know. I would have some fun with bringing in artisans that can provide either artwork that could be installed in the room around the perimeter of the space, almost like you're doing a gallery exhibition, which could be really beautiful. We had done that once in a hotel ballroom in New York City. We also did it once where you can take an existing piece of art, or I should say a well-known piece of art, and have a floral company take fake rose petals and recreate, like we recreated the Mona Lisa in rose petals on a massive size scale.
That's
we
cool.
We did an art installation because the groom and the bride and the family were modern art collectors, and the design of the room were not floral centerpieces. They were floral installations of, well, like Starry Night. All these well-known pieces of art was the decor for them. It was a little bit stark. And because of that, we then made everything white. We did a white dance floor. We did white tablecloths. We did white chairs, white china, white everything. And the flowers were then spotlit. And it really was like an art installation. So use locals that can do that. If you don't want to do something that's known and you want to do something that's, you know, someone's art that is fresh off their hands that they just created, see if they'll do an exhibition for you at your wedding.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love that story.
And when it happens, you have to send us photos, of course, and we're going to tag David because that's amazing.
I mean, there's
always ways to do something where after the wedding, you're going to keep it also, or take it home. You know, if it is like any like commissioned art pieces or sculptures or something that like, it might be expensive, but keep in mind, like, it's not just, if you're buying it, it's not just your wedding. If you have a place at home that is waiting for that, then it's kind of a more bang for your buck.
Lindsay, if you go onto my website, I don't remember the title of it in our photo gallery, but if you go to the photo gallery, it's probably called, it might be called Embrace Art or Love Embraces Art as the title. You can see the event we did with all of the artwork that was with floral petal on canvas.
Awesome.
Thank you. And oh. Michelle and Christy, you are my wedding planners now because I purchased the masterclass. So I'm trying to get you onto my guest list.
Okay, girl. Yes, let's do it. Okay, Audrey, beautiful Audrey, say hi to David. Hi, tell Audrey. Us where you are and when the wedding is. I already know this, but I'm going to let Audrey say it.
I am in Austin, Texas, and the wedding is in October 22nd. And my question is our guest list grew a lot larger than we originally anticipated due to having large families and close family friends, all the things. And I really want to make sure that all of our guests still feel like special and like they were a part of everything. But I know that that's harder to do with a larger scale guest list, I guess. So I just kind of wanted to know if you had any ideas on how to make everybody feel like included. And
Audrey, how many guests in total about?
It's looking like 185.
Fine. 185 is a lot, but 185 is not unmanageable. Here's a little trick. So whether you're having 20 guests or 185 or 300 guests, what you need to do for that wedding is the same exact formula that you would do for any size guest count. The most important thing, whether 185 or 20 guests, is that you and your partner are always side by side. Rule of thumb across the board, I tell all this to my clients. When brides and grooms or brides and grooms and grooms start to split up and start hang out with their friends or go to the bar, you should be legitimately glued to the hip the entire 8 hours of the day, except when you're not seeing each other before you get married. And then by doing that, I'm not saying go around each table old school style. I'm just saying mingle with your family and friends. Give them a little bit of attention. Then leave and depart. If one of your best friends is yanking on you, wanting to hang out, this is not that moment. You need to make sure that you've now entered into a new part of your life. You are now a couple. So now as a couple, you must just flow and move and connect your guests to each other. And that's called being an adult. And that's also called about being a host. That is when you are truly a host and not just sitting there having a good time at the party your parents might have paid for. Now is when you step up.
That is such good advice. Just to be physically next to each other actually helps immensely to make the party about you as a couple.
Yeah. How many times have we all done weddings where the bride's over there, the groom's over there? I did a wedding where the bride, I couldn't find the bride. And I started over this topic with this moment, but I couldn't find the bride. Guess where the bride was? In the stall, vomiting because she was drunk.
Oh no.
But hold on a second. Here's why. The mother and father of the groom did not accept who she was from the family that she came from. She was marrying into money. She came from nothing. So she was so upset on how she was being treated, she drank too much. So I felt so sad for this wonderful, sweet, amazing human being that I was the one with her hair pulled back while she was throwing up.
Oh, David.
Got her a little better to get out there, but it was too much for her. So I don't want anyone to ever get to that place. And by the way, all of you who are brides and future brides and that are listening, it's not the night to be throwing back shots. Okay. That's called being zero responsible and certainly not being a host.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here. David has spoken. Okay. Margo, hello.
Hi, David.
Hi, Margo.
I am getting married in New Jersey on October 16th of this year.
Right.
And my question for you is, what you think the best way to add some personality into the design of a wedding is without being too literal. So kind of adding personality in an elegant way.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and your fiance. What is the personalities of either of you or both of you?
We're actually kind of opposites. I'm definitely the extrovert and he's very introverted. We met in college at a party, and he is an athletic director and I'm an interior designer.
Tell me two things about him and two things about you that are not about what you do, but about who you are.
We both love food.
No, each of you individually.
Oh, sorry. Okay. He loves food. and he absolutely loves to travel. I love art and I love animals.
So, oh, the animal one's going to be hard, but let's not put that aside for a second. But the art, of course, is going to be easy because we're going to make sure that whatever type of art that you appreciate, the art comes out in the design of your tables. So whether you're a modern artist or realism, I mean, think of the type of art that you love and try to then depict that in the choices of your linen choices, your flatware, tableware, glassware, and floral settings. That's where your personality starts to come. You hand him over the unique opportunity, and I say unique opportunity, to create really interesting selections for food. And when the food comes out, if he's a true foodie, it might be kind of nice to know why each course was selected in a printed material that sits on the table and not necessarily a menu, but the choice was created for and why, or maybe it becomes a different culture, each different course or a different region of a part of the world that represents the food that he loves. So it then begins to tell, which I love, the story of the two of you separately, now blended together at the table.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Audrey, by the way, I meant to tell you, I love Austin, Texas. So it's a fun place to have a wedding. I forgot to say that.
And Audrey's like a dog whisperer, David. She trains dogs.
Oh, we have a dog that needs to be dog whispered.
And then Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm amazing. It is so great to meet you. I can just remember being 16 years old, folding laundry and watching you on TV. So this is really an honor to meet you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So my question for you is, I've moved my wedding 3 different times due to COVID, and me and my fiancé have been together for 10 years. So the wedding planning process has definitely been more frustrating than fun. So I have kind of a 2-part question. I really liked what you said about burnout and how that can affect you during the planning. So what do you want the bride and the groom to consider during the wedding planning process and on the wedding day? What is the most important thing that they need to focus on?
I think the most important thing they need to focus on is one another. Okay. Remain focused on each other and make sure that the dialogue and conversations that you're having with your planner, whether they're individual with the planner or collectively, the 3 of you having your plans discussed, that you communicate internally and that you're not making swift choices separately. And it's really important that any couple, you specifically right now, are making decisions with time and not abruptly making decisions because you feel like it's knocking it off of a checklist, which you'll regret later down the course. Okay. I also want to make sure that What you do is that you're not planning your wedding every single day, and you're not thinking about it every single time that you're going to sleep or in your waking hours. You need to take a breath from it. You need to breathe. You need to allow it not to be your priority. I know that sounds crazy for a bride not to have a priority be her wedding, but if you allow it to become part of your life and not all of your life, it'll really be so much more enjoyable. And you'll appreciate the outcome of it. And when you arrive at your wedding, you won't feel as if you've lived it 100 times. Mm-hmm. And when you arrive at your wedding, it'll feel more like not the sigh of relief, but the sigh of excitement that you're actually getting a chance to see something that maybe you just didn't know every little detail, and you've trusted the people that you've hired. And I don't mean just your planner, every vendor you have to trust, every vendor you have to believe in to allow yourself to enjoy the process.
Yeah, I definitely identify with the feeling of this is going to be a sigh of relief when this is over instead of a sigh of excitement. So
now switch that mindset completely right now, because if you think, I think you just did. And I think that'll allow you to get now more excited. I mean, having to postpone and replay three times over a course of time, there are a lot of brides and grooms and couples that are saying, let's just forget getting married and just, you know, move into a new house or have a child, or they're shifting their directive. So I don't want that to happen to you. I want you now to step forward with pure, true excitement.
That's awesome. Everything's about mindset, right?
It is. It's hard to have it sometimes. It's hard to shift it. But I think I can see that you can, because I can see the smile that you have.
Oh, thank you.
When's the wedding? I mean, what's the date?
Our new date is May 28th of next year, so 2022.
Okay. Where are you again? You said what part of the country?
I'm in Michigan.
May of 2020, we're going to be fine May 2022.
Yeah.
I have said from day one, almost a little over a year ago, that we're going to see the world come back to life in 2022. 2021 now, moving forward, is about getting hired and being prepared to plan.
Okay. I definitely feel safer then.
Good. That's what's important. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Megan.
I wanted to piggyback on Megan, since that question we hear that a lot from a lot of our listeners, also about mindset, but also about enjoying the day. Like, you've set it up, now you want to knock it down. You want to wake up on your wedding day and be excited about everything that's going to happen in the next 12 hours. Do you have advice, or like some tried and true methods, or, you know, advice that you give your clients about maybe that week of what to do to really get there where you're excited and not just like sweating it out?
If you have a really great party planner, wedding planner, the week of, if not the 2 weeks prior, you have no questions to answer, no worries to think about. And that truly is based upon the relationship you have with your planner and the ability of the planner to be able to execute that. That week prior, if not even longer than a week prior, you should be living your life as if you're not having a wedding. You should be living your life. I mean, you're excited about your hair and your makeup and your dress. That'll all happen the day and the 2 days prior, but all those other days leading up, you should live your life before you thought you were planning a wedding, because then that sort of opens up this new adventure, because now you're dismissing yourself literally from this big moment, this big day, that time that you're going to walk down the aisle, and you're kind of just living life normally. And then when it happens,
so you can be delighted.
It's like a dream. It's sort of like, oh my God, yes, it is happening.
Yes. What about for people who don't have a planner? Who's taking care of all that?
I can't really help you. If you don't have a planner, I don't know what to tell you.
I can't really talk to you.
It's hard for me to actually understand how anybody without a planner can actually enjoy their wedding. I'm not saying that to sell planners. It's just, I'm not, unless you're super diligent and very organized and don't get stressed and are highly medicated, I don't know how any bride or groom and couple can do this without a professional. I really don't.
Because it is so much.
I don't get it. I really don't. And I don't know the answer to this question, by the way, but boy, would I love to put 100 couples in a room and randomly say, do you have a planner? And do you have a planner? And then send them on their way and come back 6 months later and ask the question, what was it like for you versus you who had a planner and didn't? And see that. I'd love to hear that intel. It'd be a really interesting thing to understand. But I've never really actually spoken to a couple that have done their own wedding and heard anything like, oh my God, that was a breeze.
Be like, it was all worth it, but it's still so much work.
It's a job.
And that's actually shameless plug, but we created our digital course and it's the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, because we've been doing this for so long. We've had this podcast for so long now, and we've talked to thousands of people. And a lot of them can't afford a planner. So we always say, like, at least try to have a month of coordinator, like try to have somebody who could at least start working with you a month or 6 weeks out and like bundle it all together, you know, put a bow on it and be there on the wedding day so you don't have to deal with this. But because of that, we created this digital course. It took us a year And it's literally our process, our templates, our tutorial videos, teaching them how to plan their wedding on their own using us, using our resources. So we're hoping that's going to help those people that can't otherwise, you know, afford a planner, you know, a David Tutera, or even me or Christy. And, you know, we're excited about it. So I had to shamelessly plug that.
No, I think it's important that you did.
I wanted you to know, as one of the planning gods out there that we look up to,
Thank you.
Something that we did and we're happy Thank about you. And we're proud of.
And for consumers that are listening right now, and I say this with all honesty, those of you that think you can hire a day of planner
Preach.
Is double creating drama, double. Mm. And I'm not trying to take business away from only day of wedding planners, but for you to dump all that information onto one human being to pull it together, and let's give them 2 days, the day prior and the day of, you're setting yourself up for another nightmare, because all they're going to wind up doing the entire wedding is coming up to you and going, who's doing that? Where's that person? What does she look like? Do you want it to happen here or now here? So day of wedding planning to me is the death of the industry, yeah. Not the success of the industry.
And I'm sure you teach this to any wedding planners, and there's still, I'm finding them on Clubhouse who say, I do day of coordination. And I'm just like, There's no such thing as that.
No.
Like, and if you truly are trying to sell that to someone, shame on you. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
Oh, God, it's so good to talk to another pro. Ladies, we're so happy that we had you. And I am really excited because all five questions were so different.
They were.
And David was just like, boom, boom, boom. So I know that the thousands of people listening that will listen to this episode are going to get so much out of this. And we truly appreciate that, that you all came and off and added to this already amazing, you know, episode with David. So thank you.
It was a pleasure to be with you guys. It really was. It was great talking to the five brides that are walking down the aisle at some point, which is exciting. And Michelle and Christy, thank you for inviting me. It was a joy and honor. I appreciate it.
Oh, David, really, we are so honored. Much. This is a big moment for the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. So thank you so much for taking the time.
I appreciate it. Anytime. I'll give you a last little just bit of advice to all the couples that are walking down the aisle. Breathe, remind yourself this is a special moment, and walk down the aisle in style.
That's beautiful. Drop the mic, David Tutera. We love you. Thank you.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.